Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today for part two of my exciting interview with our good friend Tom Donnan. Every time Tom comes on, he always brings pertinent information about the Bible, about prophecy, about the last days, and what we see going on in current events in the news all around us. Now, if you missed any of part one, you need to go back and listen to it. We had some great information on cosmic signs and everything going on, and we end up talking about the virus and how that's impacting things and the power grabs going on in D.C., but we don't have time to go back and cover everything again because we're moving forward today talking about the economies of the world and all of that. Folks, you do not want to miss any of this great information. Tom is spot on. He's given valuable information, and we're going to jump right back into this interview now as we're talking about the devastation of the economies of the world with Tom Donnan. Between the COVID and between, you know, the out of control spending by these governments, you know, the economies of this, not just the United States, but countries around the world, they're being devastated. You know, I mean, the dollar is losing its value in relation to other currencies almost a daily basis right now.
Oh, that is very disturbing. You know, the thing is that the information is out there, and so when you want to look at it, it's right there to be able to examine. And that's called the dollar value is a DXY chart, and it'll tell you what the dollar is selling for. Isn't that funny? What the dollar is selling for?
Yeah, not a dollar. And,
no, it's not selling as a dollar. So how does this turn into a problem, right? Well, it is at the 2008 levels, and it's not as bad as it has been in the past. But in the last 30 years, I think it's been above the 90 cents to the dollar ratio, which is good, but it's in a decline right now because of what's going on. So what does this mean? All right, so you can buy let's just use a loaf of bread, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can buy a loaf of bread for a dollar. But the value of the dollar is now 92 cents. So that means that the bread must cost $1.08 now in order to buy it. So that's inflation. Yeah. And inflation is showing up everywhere because of the times that we're going through, and that puts the squeeze on people. What was that survey that was going around last year where they said on average people only had $400 in savings for emergency? Mm. Well, that's not going to help very long, is it?
Yeah, that's not even like a week's worth of expenses and groceries.
There's no emergency fund for people.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. And we will be experiencing our little emergencies as well. You know? You talk about the value of the dollar. Does it show anything about, like China's yuan or Russia ruble or anything like that? Are they increasing?
The exchange rate. No, I haven't jumped into that, but that exchange rate is there to be able to find out. Because I'll tell you what, this is one of the things. When a dollar gets devalued, it gives more power to exchange in other areas. So sometimes there is that an international monetary funds or international exchange. Sometimes it works out to be better for trade, let's say. But no, I didn't look that up for this interview to find out what was going on.
Okay. Yeah, amen. Because I know you shared something with me recently called the velocity of money. What is that?
So when this started happening, you know, I have these dreams and these visions, right? And so God has got my attention about what's coming down the road. And as I'm learning about the finances, because 10 years ago, there was a pastor, his name is Shane Warren, who said that he saw that the value of money was nothing and that it was going to become worthless. Well, look at this 10 years later, and we're printing trillions of dollars of money, not just yearly, but sometimes quarterly. Yeah. And what's happening is that that's going to dilute the value of the money. But what happens is that people are trusting the system until they don't. And when they don't, then it's going to really be affected. So now getting back to the velocity of money, that is how it goes through the system. Okay, from earning it to spending it, let's say, right? So when you rent a, or you get it, jump in a cab, right? So it costs you $20 in Chicago to go a couple miles, and that cab driver earns some of it, and then he puts it in gas, and he puts it in insurance, and he puts it in, you know, in lunch, and then the gas people take some of that money, and it gets dispersed, and then that keeps on happening over and over and over again as things and goods and services are being used, right? Okay, so 2008, of course, it took a real hit in 2009, but it came back. But it never really changed much from what the beginning, not the beginning record, but the on the chart, it said the 1960 level, which was very low. It had gone up. This is what happens when money is free and easy. The velocity of money is really high. But when money's not free and easy, then it, people start to either they've lost their jobs or they're afraid to spend money because they don't know how long they're going to have it or what they're going to need. So they start saving it. And then now it has dropped off the cliff. I'm telling you, it's way below the 1960 level. And that means that people have been losing jobs or they are concerned about what the future holds. So they're not spending it. And then that starts to put the brakes on the economy, which even further makes a mess as far as the COVID is concerned. So things are not looking good.
You know, when I studied this out a long time ago in my college days, I think it was something like for every dollar you spend, that dollar gets filtered down like seven different levels, you know, so that, you know, you went to work, you earned your check, they pay you your dollar. Now you go to the store and you spend some of that at the store. And you spend some of that at the gas station. You give your kids a tip, you know, their allowance, and they spend some of that dollar, you know, getting candy or whatever. That's that dollar is being filled around. At the grocery store, they take the dollars that come in there. They pay their employees. They pay their expenses. They order more food, so there's more groceries, which means the trucker who brought the goods, he gets paid some of that dollar. You know, the farmer who helps, you know, stuff the truck full, he gets some of that dollar. He has to pay his people. And that every dollar you spend, it goes through all those filters, you know. So you may have, you may be saving, you know, a nickel out of every dollar, but that other 95 cents is going to fund the economy in all these different levels.
Yes.
You know, and if you don't get paid your dollar because your company shut down, it's just not affecting you. It's affecting the grocery store, the truck driver, the farmer. You know, the farmer has to go to town and buy his stuff from people that, all the way down that line, you know. That is so true that, you know, when you stop and look at it like that, well, they're just going to shut down these businesses for a little while. Well, business has no income. They're not paying their employees. The employees have no income. They're not paying all that much for groceries. They're eating ramen and stuff like that, you know. And now the grocery stores are in trouble because they can't keep all their employees. And, you know, it just snowballs into this thing. That's one of the reasons why you're going to end up with someone just saying, I can fix the problem for you.
Oh.
You know? And you're back to that one world government again.
Yeah, we're moving in that direction. I don't think people are there, but I, you know, my parents... They came through the Great Depression, like my grandparents, and and of course, people back then, if they had something and they didn't use it, they didn't throw it away. They kept it in case they needed it because that's the way it was, right? And so now what's happening is that in 2008, 2009, we had a really scare. And now it's completely changed because I feel like we're in the second wave of the COVID in the U.S. here. When I left Illinois just at that time, at Will County, it's a good-sized county, they're having an average of 70 to 150 cases a day, which is really nothing, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of people are really relaxed, and I'm not because I've had so many dreams from the Lord about this that I'm scared to death, right? So if I'm going to church, I got a mask on. If I'm going to the store, I got a mask on, right? And so what's happened is that as I left, it jumped to almost 1,000 a day.
Wow.
And then Illinois went from 4,000 to then 12,000 to nearly 13,000 a day. Yeah. And it has just exploded. And so that is going to throw concern into people's lives. You know, here was the thing, right? In the beginning, you heard about somebody who had COVID, but it was a friend of a friend who knew somebody who had it, right?
Yeah.
It's not that way anymore. it's the everybody around you has mm-hmm. got the, somebody who has had that or somebody who has come through it. No, and so it's the peripheral, the barrier, the how would you say it, the safe zone has eroded away to where you don't know how it's going to go. Are you going to survive? I had a nephew down in Texas that had it, and what he said, he goes, Uncle Tom, he says, I couldn't feel my face. He said it was the worst thing I've ever been through, and he was 50 years old, so you don't know who it's going to affect. But we've had people in my community who have passed away because of the COVID. Of course, they were older, and they didn't take measures to be safe, and they caught it, and they didn't survive.
Yeah.
So we don't know. And that puts the fear of God in people, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, our family, normally we have, you know, usually four big get-togethers every year. And I'm talking, you know, with our family, you know, the grandkids and, you know, their girlfriends and all that stuff. You're talking 17 to 19 people at one gathering, right? So that'd be like Memorial Day, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, right? And there might be a couple other birthdays where we might have 13 to 15 there. But, you know, we're this Thanksgiving, we're all doing it on our own this year, each family by themselves.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, that's, you know, because of the precautions that we're taking. But, you know, what's hard for people to understand is, again, back to the thing with the money. If you don't have a job and you can't go buy additional groceries, how are you going to eat? You know, if you don't have a job, how are you going to pay your rent or make your house payments? You know, that,
yes.
And that's why you see an explosion in these food lines, and you know, they put a moratorium or a hold on, you know, people being evicted from their homes and their apartments. That doesn't mean you don't owe the rent or the house payment. They're just saying, we're not going to kick you out right now. You know, once this thing goes back to normal, they're like, okay, you owe us $18,000. Cough it up. You know,
yes. Kind of
thing. And, you know, what's going to happen? The bankruptcies are going to go out. The evictions are going to go up. You know, all these things are taking place. And you can see the number of evictions. I mean, here in Maryland, they say, you know, that the court system is overloaded by, you know, even though they can't. They're going to court. You're still allowed to take them to court and get the eviction notice. But then the judge says, we're holding this until a future time. But the judgment's already been rendered, right? So once they say, okay, you're free and clear to do your evictions now, the decision's already been made. Now it's just they're going to go up and post it on the door. So you got 30 days to get out.
Yes.
You know? I mean, you know, what are people going to do? I mean, the food lines. I mean, this is just it's terrible right now.
Well, that's changed. You know, the thing is that let's say the cards that you get now that you can have to be able to go to the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that is usurped the people standing in lines during the 30s, right? Yeah, or they had to stand in line to be able to get some food.
Yep.
Well, you got that card that you can go in there and be able to purchase stuff, so you don't have that outward appearance. But that has changed now. No, there's a couple of references like you were talking about in your area. Well, out in Hawaii, where the tourism system has just about stopped, is that there's a video link that we got here where this guy was surfing with his son, and on the way back, they were noticing all these cars and what in the world's going on. And so he decided to check it out, and what happened is that there's like 2 miles worth of cars that are waiting for this church to open up that is going to give food away. They are in a food line in their car so that they can roll up there. And that's not the only place. In my church, they had, Samaritan's Purse. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a reach into information here. Yep. Samaritan's Purse, that you can buy a tractor trailer's worth of food for being distributed. And we had enough for 1,100 families. And when this was announced, they had to have police there because there was a long line waiting to come and pick up the food. And this is the nature of America that's only going to be getting worse in the days ahead.
Yep. Yeah. Amen. Because, I mean, you said, hold on, it's going to get worse. Because you shared with me a series of dreams that the Lord showed you some things that were about to happen and where this was going to be a time for ministries to actually start to do their job. Would you mind sharing that with our listeners?
Oh, I'd be glad to, because the thing is that now what do I do with this stuff, right? I always ask myself, okay, Lord, you showed me these things. Now what do I do with it? And this is a wonderful outlet by which to share it. And so this was just maybe within the last 2 weeks. In the middle of the night, I have these dreams experiences. It's like I'm living this, and it's so powerful. And so what happens is that I am at rest in a recreation room, and I'm on the couch, and it's not light, and it's not dark. It's kind of like in between. No. And so which would equate spiritually to be like lukewarm. That's a good word to throw in here at this time.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So as I'm laying there on the couch and I'm just resting, there is on the other side of the room, there is a console with a flat screen TV resting on it, and above it is a battery operated clock. Now, you know how those clocks are. Tick, tick. Tick, yep, tick. Yep. Though they can be annoying if you don't tune them out, right? So as I'm laying there, the clock starts getting louder and louder and louder, and to the point where I'm thinking, I got to fix this thing, right? So I get up off of the couch, I walk over there, and I push an ottoman over. Now, if anybody who knows this, this is like stupid because the ottomans roll, right? So you don't want to be stepping on an ottoman where you could potentially fall, but it's a guy thing, right? So I pushed it over there, and I went over to the desk to be able to get the battery. And as I'm reaching for the battery, what happened is that the clock stopped, right? Mm. And the sound was deafening. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Am I too late? And then this invisible weight knocked me to the floor and started rolling up me from my feet upwards towards the top of my head. And by the time it got to my ribs, I woke up in pain because I was being crushed by this weight.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I'm thinking, oh, shoot. But what happens is that now it's going to take me at least an hour, if not more, to be able to relax enough to fall back to sleep.
Yeah.
And once I did, of course, I committed all that to memory, because what I realized is that time ran out. That's an important thing. Mm. Time ran out. So the next three series of dreams, what happened is that I was in ministry. Now, spiritual food is very important. And in a ministry, a kitchen symbolizes the preparation that a pastor goes through to prepare the spiritual food to be able to present to the people through his sermons and through other activities. And so here I am, and I'm in a big kitchen, and it's a huge ministry. And there is a woman there. Now, the woman always represents to me the ministry spirit, which would be the representative of the bride of Christ,
okay,
right? It's a way to which the Lord communicates to me the effectiveness or what's going on with the ministry. So here it is. Here's this older woman. She is about as round as she is tall, right? And she's the chief cook. And so I'm trying to talk to her about what's going on, and she is not interested, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I says, well, okay, all right. We had met about 30 years ago. And I had just said something quickly, and it was as if the light went on, because what I had offered her 30 years ago, she was not interested in. But because of the pressure that she was under now, this woman attacked me, not in a bad way. She attacked me because what I offered to her 30 years ago, there was no way I was going to get out of this area without giving it to her this time, because she needed it, and she needed it really bad, right? So that was the first indication that under pressure, what she wouldn't do before, she desperately wanted now.
Yeah, amen.
So the second scene was that I was on an elevator, which shows the changing in spiritual realm. And it was a group of people, and the leader of this kind of like, you know, a doctor's going on rounds, kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing in the back, and the doctor goes, he says, yes. He says, that man back there is the person who has enabled us to be able to get to where we are so that we can do our rounds. And they kind of like turned around and looked at this old guy, right? Right. And then they kind of acknowledged the fact. And so now here's the third scene. The third scene is that I'm in a ministry. And when you have the spiritual realm is shown to me as, you know, elevators, because that's what I did for 44 years. And so I understand the operations of the elevator. So you show me a problem in the elevator, I can turn it into a problem that is happening in the spiritual realm, and then how to fix it.
Amen.
So here it is. The elevator is moving, and as the car door has a guide on it that's called a gib, and it goes into the sill to keep it in place so that it doesn't get caught on something as it's moving throughout the hoistway. Well, it's missing this part, and I'm telling people, listen, this is unsafe. You see the part unsafe? Because you have to move safely in the spiritual realm. And I was shocked. I was shocked because they actually gave me permission to get involved to solve the problem.
Mm.
Now, for like the last 3 or 4 years, people say, no, Tom, I'm not interested in what you got. And now all of a sudden it's turning around because now they are under so much pressure because they are being crushed. Now, you look at all the stuff that we have just talked about as far as the decay of the economy and people's lives. Well, now complicated by the fact that we are now going to be under a burden. And that burden is going to be crushing people, and then they're going to have to decide, am I going to go towards God in relief, or am I just going to endure it and suffer? Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that people are going to turn to God, because I'll tell you what, I have a man friend, a friend down here, who 2 years ago, his life was turned upside down because he was pending a divorce. And he cried out to God. He got saved. He started trusting him, seeking no, for answers and the reliance on the help. 2 years later, his family is totally restored.
Praise God. Amen.
And this is the kind of stuff that happens. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, in our society, Jesus is a bad name, right? Mm,
yeah.
And so you tell people, oh, you really could benefit by having a relationship with Jesus, and they blow you off. But now that they're going to be under pressure, I think ears are going to start opening up, and people are going to say, well, listen, what do I got to lose, right? And then they'll start moving towards the Lord. And what does he do in Psalm 107? As soon as the people in Psalms 107 got to the bottom of their lives and they cried out to God, he ran to meet them where they were. So I want people to hear this. You're under pressure. You need provisions. You need help. When you run to God, when you run to Jesus, he will turn around and he will help you. And the biggest step is becoming spiritually born or born again by accepting Jesus into your life. And then everything that is in the relationship with him becomes available to help you and all of those that you love. This is what's coming. This is what you need to know so that you can make a change in your life to be able to accept this, because it's not going to be getting better anytime soon.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, folks, you don't believe us? Read the Bible. It's right there. You know, that things are going to get a lot worse before they get any better. You know, Tom, that's a wow. Basically that dream is time's up.
Time's
decision
up.
Decision time. Time's up. Yeah. Wow. This is all fascinating.
Well, let me bring in one other dynamic here. Mm-hmm. Is that I was just was at my friend's church, and of course I didn't know what the series was. The pastor. It's a good-sized church. A pastor was talking about the book of Amos, and I had perked up because that's kind of like been my book that the Lord has showed me since 2009. And what is it about? It's about sin, right?
Yep.
So this pastor, what's that?
The plumb line.
Oh, yeah. And it's not straight. It's not straight as far as we're concerned when it comes to sin, and we're ripe for the judgment.
Yeah.
And we have a national sin debt that is so out of control that there's no way to be able to take care of it until we start one at a time, start repenting. Yeah. But as this pastor was giving his sermon, I'm thinking, okay, where's this going to go? And he actually told the people that it's the sin in our hearts that's going to make the difference. But I went up to him afterwards, right? I cornered the guy. I went up to him afterwards. And I said, you know, I heard that you said that. But then, of course, I looked at the people, and I looked at the people, and they weren't getting it, right? Because we have sin, and it's not until we're under pressure. I told him, I says, it's when they're under pressure that they're going to see the sin, and he agreed with me. So he gave them the message, and it was like going over their heads because they're not under pressure. We've been trying to get people to see, now's the time to do this, like in this last year and a half, right?
Yeah.
Now's the time to get ahead of this. And if you're not ahead of it now it's time to engage this. Even if you're in pressure, you can engage this and receive the help from God, because we need it for our own personal lives. And it means dealing with our own sin. Yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to be ouch, you know. But yes, it's better on the other side after having dealt with it.
Yeah, amen. That is so true. It really is. Amen. Tom, you know, we've been talking about your clock. And once again, my clock says that it's time for us to wrap up today.
It happens way too fast.
I know. I really need to get this thing looked at, because I still say it runs fast anytime I'm on a great interview with you. Praise God. But if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
That would be my email address, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com.
Amen. Amen. We didn't even get a chance to discuss your books today, but I'm going to put a link to all your books down in the show notes down below. Folks, Tom Donner, once again, he's just blowing me away with his perspective on current events happening all around us and how it all relates to Bible prophecy. There is absolutely no way any reasonable person can deny that we're living in the last of the last days. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this could be your final chance. And I'm not saying Jesus is coming back in 10 minutes, but he could. I'm not saying you will never see tomorrow, but it could happen. I mean, we're not guaranteed our next breath here. Someone could stop this recording and walk down the hall to get a cup of coffee and have a heart attack while doing so. Someone could be listening to Tom Donner right now in their car while parking their car at the grocery store and never make it back to their car again. So if you've never received Jesus as your Lord or Savior, I urge you to do so right now. Matter of fact, Tom, would you lead someone to the throne of grace and mercy right now wherever they may be at?
Well, what a privilege. Thank you, Pastor Bob. Yes. If you would pray along with me, if you pray along with me, let's invite Jesus into your life. Amen. Dear Father God, I thank you for your son, Jesus, and the work that he did on the cross. By shedding his blood, he paid the price for my sins. I am sorry for my sins, Father, and the pain that it has caused Jesus and you and the Holy Spirit. Please forgive me for my sins. I am sorry. Now, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life, and I want to live for you. Please come in. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And folks, that's all the time we have for today. But if you pray that prayer with Tom Donner, get in touch with him. Let him go down the show notes. Click the link. Let him know that you prayed that prayer. And email me as well at brotherbob@ftfm.org. But go down to the show notes and get in touch with Tom Donner right now. Order one or more or all of his books. I've read every single one of them, and they're awesome. Tom, thank you again for coming on the program today, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. We always have fun, don't we?
Oh, amen. And the time, I'm looking at this clock, I'm like, slow down, you know? Golly. But for Tom, Don, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.